Good afternoon. I'm Jamila Erickson here with the Midday Interview. I am delighted to have in the studio today Rabbi Robert Waxman. I've been wanting to have him in for a while, and this is the perfect time of year. He is with B'nai Israel Synagogue. He's been the rabbi there for a long time. We'll talk about that in a moment. B'nai Israel Synagogue is the conservative synagogue at 26th and Chestnut Street, and we'll be talking about the Jewish High Holy Days. So welcome, Rabbi. Thank you for coming.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Now, how long have you been at B'nai Israel?
Over 30 years. I think this is my 33rd Rosh Hashanah.
So they don't move rabbis around like they do Methodist ministers and Episcopal priests. Not so much.
Not so much, but some do move. But I've been fortunate to be here for a long time.
That's wonderful. What is the size of the congregation at B'nai Israel? Does it kind of vary depending on the season?
No, it's, our mailing list and our email list might be one thing, but we're over 150 families that are a part of our group, almost 200 who are part of our group at B'nai Israel.
And you have a lot of kids coming to Hebrew school.
We have some children at our Hebrew school. We're actually working with the Temple of Israel on some educational endeavors that we're very excited about.
Well, that's great. Now, let's talk about the most important time of the year in many ways, the Jewish High Holy Days. The first one starts tomorrow evening at sundown. Now, I'm probably not saying it right. I'm saying it like a wasp, Rosh Hashanah. You say it for us.
Yes, Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah.
Rosh Hashanah, the head of the year. It's the new year, 5773, that's going to be starting. That's the year we say spiritually as the creation of the world. We know the world really scientifically is much older, but we have our biblical counting. So Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which means the Day of Atonement, these are our two high holy days. This is our high holy day season.
And a lot of people who are not familiar with Judaism, but they're kind of been permeated by the dominantly Christian culture in so many places, think, well, you know, the big celebration is Hanukkah. Yeah. Well, that's just, it's gotten hyped because it's so close to Christmas, I think, in many ways.
Yes, it's Hanukkah's really down the list of importance. But as you said, it's important because it falls near December. Of course, this year, it's going to be celebrated with Thanksgiving.
Uh-huh.
Which is about as early as it can possibly be. So we are on the lunar calendar, and so the days are about 28 days a month in the lunar calendar, so it pushes it up. But unlike the Muslim calendar, we add an occasional leap month, as we will next year, because we don't want to have Rosh Hashanah with Halloween or Labor Day. So we have to kick it back. Next spring to kick it back a little way so that it can stay, so that Rosh Hashanah and therefore all the other holidays will fall in the middle of September, and Hanukkah will fall in December as it should, because our days are both historical and they are agricultural. So, for example, Passover is the time of planting, and then now, after Rosh Hashanah, we have the holiday of Sukkot. Sukkot, historically, is when we have the little hut that we remember the wandering in the desert. We wandered in the desert after we left Egypt for 40 years. So that's the historical reason. The agricultural reason is that it's the harvest, and we're thankful that we had a harvest.
And so if people were to drive by the B'nai Israel Synagogue at 26th and Chestnut near Sukkot, would they see a little hut outside and
yes,
some decorations?
We actually have a semi-permanent. It's the structure's there, and then we will cover it and decorate it in a couple weeks. And so it's always up, but it's there on you can see it from the 26th Street side.
Well, let's talk about Rosh Hashanah, which starts tomorrow night at sundown. And is that a holiday that Jewish families spend together at home, or is it one where they go to the synagogue? What does that holiday look like?
Well, all our holidays are observed at home and the synagogue, depending on which one. The High Holy Days, Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, are definitely synagogue holidays. People want to come together. As we all know from television and that kind of thing, the larger culture, we know that that people come to the synagogue. We know that in New York and other places there won't be alternate side of the street parking for the listeners who are from New York. And there's some public schools that are closed. The stock market will be slow. And all those things will be in effect during these 3 days of the High Holy Days. A lot of people take vacation. They go visit families. They celebrate with families and loved ones. And they're in the synagogue. And so at home, we have the round challah. Round challah symbolizing the cycle of the year. From one Rosh Hashanah through the year to the next, from one September to the next.
And the challah is the bread.
The challah is the bread. You can get it plain or you can get it with raisins. We dip it in honey and we say we should be blessed with a sweet new year.
That's wonderful. Are there other special foods?
Well, there's some people like fish because the fish have the eyes are always opened like God's eyes in judgment, or some people like sweet carrots and sweet cakes and because of the sweetness of the year.
Wonderful. If you're just joining us, you're hearing the voice of Rabbi Robert Waxman, a longtime rabbi at B'nai Israel Synagogue at 26th and Chestnut Street. We're talking about the Jewish High Holy Days. Now, Yom Kippur is, from what I know of it, I think one of the most beautiful holidays in terms of the intention behind it and what people do on that holiday. Would you talk about that?
Well, both high holidays are a time of introspection. It's group therapy. It's group thinking. It's, of course, it's individual, but we come together to help create that mood. But on Yom Kippur especially, we think about our behavior. And all of us, most of our listeners are it's not a matter of that they're bad people. It's a matter of being good and being better. For example, you know, there's people who are listening right now who are not members of WHQR. They need to step up and write a check, you see. That would make them better. That would be a Yom Kippur kind of resolution.
Oh, I like your thinking.
Yes, of course. And if they're already giving $52, then to become, of course, a day sponsor. So we can all do a little more. And we think about this on whatever level and on so many levels, our community service, being good to each other as individuals, with our family, with Israel, with community projects, with human rights, civil rights, all these things that we call good things that are good things to do.
Is it a time for asking forgiveness for things and granting forgiveness for things that have happened in the past year?
Yes, of course. We call that, we call it, the word is chet. For the sin, but it's really the word chet means missing the mark.
Ah.
And so it's like we try, and you try to be good, but we can all do better, and so we should try to do better. And so that's what we try to do, and that's what we think about on that day. Rosh Hashanah sort of starts the process. Of course, we've started the process already for the past month of getting ready, and then it sort of builds and builds to the holiest night, which will be Friday the 13th at night, the Kol Nidre, where we say all the promises, all the stupid things we said, and all the things we said that we really didn't mean, or we said them and we meant them for that second, and we ask forgiveness. It's sort of pushing a reset button, and that's what makes it meaningful. That's why I think so many people still find it meaningful in the Jewish community, that they like to come to the synagogue, they hear the prayers, they think about it, and hopefully they won't go out and start to sin again quite so fast, but they'll try to improve.
Yeah. We have just a couple of minutes left, Rabbi, and I know that you brought a few things with you, including a shofar, a ram's horn. You have perhaps some prayers in front of you as well. Do you want to sound that ram's horn for us and tell us what that's about?
Well, the ram's horn, the shofar, is a ram's horn, and we blow it on Rosh Hashanah, and so I'll demonstrate here.
He's stepping away from the microphone a bit. Thank you. That doesn't look easy, but there's a good sound you got out of that.
Well, thank you. It's the ram's horn. It's a call to announce that God is ruler in our life. It's an announcement of the new year. It's an announcement to repent. It's a call for war. It's a call for a lot of different things in our lives. It's a call to try to improve. And that's what we really, that's why people like the shofar. And they find it one of the most strongest symbols that we have at this time of year.
Wonderful. Was there something else you wanted to share
before
we wrap up?
The song, Avinu Malkeinu, Chaneinu Vaneinu. So that's the traditional, beautiful melody of Avinu Malkeinu, our father, our ruler, that we ask that that we should be answered, even though we have no deeds to plead our cause, save us with mercy and loving kindness. And so that's a nice song, and that's everybody knows that. We sing it together. It's very meaningful.
That's beautiful. I want to thank you for making time in your busy day, in this very busy season, to come in and talk with us today. Rabbi Robert Waxman of B'nai Israel Synagogue at 26th and Chestnut. If you have an interest in attending a service for the High Holidays or some other time, here's the phone number for the synagogue, 762-1117. Thank you, Rabbi.
Thank you for having me, and a Shana Tova, a sweet year to everyone.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you.